Please grab your Bibles and let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. Josiah, why don't you hit that slide? I think you're a little bit behind. This is just a quick reminder, okay? Go ahead, hit that slide, Josiah. This is just a quick reminder. Now you can go past that slide, Josiah, to the next one. And then in just a moment, you can go to the next one. But let me get to the verse first. Matthew chapter 10, let's read this verse together. And then tonight I want to talk to you about man's archenemy or man's nemesis. And I'm not referring to the devil. Of course, the devil is the adversary of Christians. But there's an enemy that the Bible talks about. And this enemy was defeated on the cross of Calvary. And this enemy also starts with the letter D. And so tonight we're going to talk about death. Thrilling subject, isn't it? Don't you just bring joy to your heart to think about that? But it's reality, folks. We all are going to, if the Lord doesn't come back, have to go through that doorway, the doorway of death. For the Christian, it's just a doorway to eternity. And so tonight I just want to talk a little bit about that and just cause you to reflect on what's ahead for you as a believer and why we should not fear death. But let's look at what Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28 says. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Here Jesus gives a simple comparison. He says, listen, I know there's a natural fear of being harmed and hurt, but he says, don't fear that. Don't fear physical death. Fear eternal death. Fear the second death. Fear him who has the power to cast both body and soul into hell, a reference to the second death. And tonight, I just want to talk about fearing God more than we fear man. I want to talk about not having a fear of death. And so I hope to be a blessing to you. I know it's a sensitive subject, and it can become even more sensitive to those who are more mature. I use that word mature in their golden years. But listen, many 40-year-olds have passed away, and we don't have one guarantee for tomorrow, so we need to address it for sure, because it's a Bible teaching. But let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for giving us a Bible that helps us. Lord, this morning we preached on faith, and tonight we want to preach on the enemy of faith, and that is fear. So help us, Lord, to just be still, to know that you're God and that you will give us the power to overcome any anxiety that we may have. We pray that your blessing be upon the service tonight, Lord. Amen. It said the two great fears of man are public speaking and a fear of dying. Public speaking and a fear of dying, according to one survey. The Bible tells us not to fear him that can kill the body. And so as a Christian, we should not fear death. And tonight, I'm going to be real honest with you. There's something about death that I fear, but it's not death in and of itself. There's no fear in me when it comes to dying. I don't fear the pain that may come along with it. I surely don't fear where I'm going to go after I die. I hate hospitals, and I'm not too fond of doctors, but I don't fear hospitals or doctors. I know that may come a time for that, but I have no fear over that. But there is one thing I have a fear of. And that is a fear of leaving this earth and not being to provide for my wife and children. That's the only fear that I have when it comes to death. Other than that, there's no fear. Now listen, I've been in ministry, and I've been threatened. The most recent time was with Brother Dave. He can testify to it. We were out knocking on doors, and one person was not glad that I was at his house. And so he has some choice words for me, but, you know, the devil would certainly want to use that to put fear in me, to stop knocking on doors, to stop witnessing to people. But we can't allow fear to stop us to do what we know God wants us to do. And so I have no fear about death in and of itself. My greatest fear is that when I'm gone, who's going to take care of my wife? Who's going to provide for my children? And I have to come to a point where I say, Lord, they're yours. Yes, I have instincts as a husband and as a father to want to provide for them and make sure they're okay. But ultimately, Lord, I know that you'll take care of them. And so you have to yield to the Lord in situations where you have a concern or a fear. But this evening, I want to talk to you about why we should not fear dying. There are some good biblical reasons why Christians should not be afraid to die. We're going to use our Bibles a little bit tonight, and I hope to share with you some verses that will just encourage you to have a confidence in God. This morning we preached on faith, and fear is the enemy of faith. And the way we overcome fear is by faith. It's a complete trust in the Lord. So tonight, just quickly, three things. I will not be long this evening. The first thing, the first reason we should not fear death is because death for a Christian is a blessing. Death for a Christian is a blessing. If you look in Revelation chapter 14, you'll find this. So in the first place, death for a Christian is a blessing. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 13, the Bible says this, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. The Bible says that blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. To die is a blessing. I know we all often think of it like that, but according to the Word of God, as a Christian, to die is a blessing. 4 years ago, or 5 years ago now, my dad passed away, and he passed away from a stroke. And when someone has a stroke, they say time is of the essence. And it says once it's realized or once there's some indications that someone is having a stroke, you've got to get them to the hospital right away. And it appears that my dad's stroke actually started the night before he went to bed. And so he just never woke up in the morning. And when he first passed away, I second guessed. I mean, did my brother miss something? Did my mom miss something? Did they not see the signs of it? And, you know, I've been trained in first aid, and so I kind of knew the signs. And I said to myself, man, I wish I would have just happened to have stopped by their house on that Monday night or whatever. I can't remember. But I believe it was a Monday night. But I second-guessed myself. But then you come to the realization that God took my dad when it was his time, and I should not wish that he was still here. I should rather be happy that he's not here. Because the Bible says, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. And so instead of being so heartbroken that he's gone, I had to realize that it was better for him to leave. Selfishly, I wish he was still here, of course. That's your dad, and my dad was my hero. I love him dearly. But he's with the Lord now, and that's a blessing. That's a blessing for him. His works are finished. He's completed his race. He's run his course, and praise the Lord for that. So in the first place, death for a Christian is a blessing. And in some ways, we ought to envy. I know envy, if you're envying something that another possesses, can be a bad thing. But in this sense, when I say envy the fact that he's with God the Father. He's in the presence of the Lord. And so when people pass away, when they are Christians who pass away, yes, there's going to be natural grief. Yes, there's going to be pain and sorrow. But there ought to be just a sense of happiness for that person, that they are now in a perfect place with no pain, no suffering, no heartaches, no cares, no burdens, no stress, no problems. They're in a perfect place. So in the first place, we should not fear death because for a Christian, death is a blessing. Secondly, in the second place, God is sovereign and in control. God is sovereign and in control. Now, we often say those terms, God is sovereign, but a lot of times in practice, we don't really believe it. But it's true. God is sovereign and God is in control. And the person who determines how many number of days you live on this earth is God. He's the one that determines that. Let's look at a few verses. First of all, Psalm 31 and verse number 15. Psalm 31 and verse number 15 says this, and then we're going to use the Bible to interpret the first part of this verse by going to another scripture. But Psalm 31, verse number 15 says, "My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me." So my times are in God's hand. What times? Well, people will often just view that as, well, the things that happen to me in life, the events and the circumstances of my life, they're all in God's hand. Yes, that's true. God is in control. But let's biblically define what my times are. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 2, just the first part of this verse says this, "A time to be born and a time to die." If my times are in God's hand and there's a time to be born and a time to die, that means both of those dates are in God's hands. I was born on January 30th, 1980. And I was born on that date by the sovereign plan of God. God said, okay, on this date, this little boy, this baby is going to be brought to earth, or is going to come out of his mother's womb and be alive outside the womb. God determined that. Biblically, that's what the Bible would teach. We were born on God's time, and then we also die on God's time. There's a time to die. Let's look at a few other verses in regards to this thought of when we die. Before we look at Psalm chapter 90, verse 12, if the rapture does not happen, every single person in this room tonight will have on their gravestone or on their tomb their birthday and their death date. But I'm going to tell you right now, God already knows what your death date is. He already, just as well as he knew that before you were born what day you would be born on, he knows the day you're going to die. He's sovereign. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. And this is what he says about our days here on earth. In Psalm chapter number 90, look at verse number 12. Psalm 90, verse number 12. He tells us, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." You have just a certain number of days to live on this earth. And God says, every single day, you ought to take notice of it. You ought to number it. You ought to thank God that you're alive. You ought to thank God he's given you another day to serve him. You ought to thank God he's given you another day to be a blessing to others and to make a difference in this world. But number your days, because like that, like a vapor, it'll be gone. We don't number our days. We all have a certain number of days. I mentioned my dad a moment ago. Shortly after he passed away, I did a Bible study on heaven. It started off as a personal Bible study just to help myself, but it was so good to me, I said, I've got to bring this to the church. And I did a 12-week study on heaven. And in that 12-week study, there was one lesson I taught about this very fact that we're here for a certain number of days. And in that little study, I actually figured out my dad's age, how many months, and how many days he lived. He was 83, 1 month, and 1 day. And so I figured out what had the number of days, and I said, this is the number of days my dad had. God knew that before he was born, because nothing ever occurs to God. God never gets more knowledge. He knows everything all the time and every place. And tonight, I don't know what your number of days is going to be, but there's a number, and God knows it tonight. And God is in control of that number. That's why we ought to cherish every single day. That's why we ought to live every day as is if it's our last day. That's why it's so very important, especially husbands and wives, that we don't go to bed angry at one another, because you don't know if you're going to wake up. That's why it's so important that we try to reconcile any relationship that we have, if possible, to reconcile those, because you don't know how much longer you have. And I've met many people who are living in regret because they thought they had more time to reconcile that relationship. We've got to number our days. Let's look at Job chapter 14. Notice what Job says about the number of days or how long we have to live here on the earth. In Job chapter 14, and look at verse number 5. Job chapter 14, verse number 5. Bible says, "Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass." pass. You can't make yourself live any longer. Now listen, I'm all for trying to be healthy. I'm all for trying to eat the right stuff. But some people just get consumed with that. And they're thinking that, hey, if they do all the right things, that they'll live forever. You're not going to live forever. Now I do believe you can abuse your body and mistreat it and shorten your life. But there's got to be a balance. There's got to be a realization that God is ultimately in control. God is sovereign. And I'm going to live to whenever God wants me to live to here on earth. And here Job says that our days have already been determined. The number of our months are with him. He's already got it planned out. He's already got it designed, and we cannot go past. He has appointed his bounds that we cannot pass those guidelines. So in the second place, God is sovereign and in control. Now just let me give you an example of a missionary that I didn't personally know but knew of. He decided he was going to go to a foreign mission field. He had a family of, I believe, 8 kids. So a wife and 8 kids. He believed God called him to the mission field. He was certain that it was God's will. So he went to the mission field. His second day on the mission field, he was executed. He was doing the will of God. And yet, God allowed him to be killed and to leave earth. Now, some of us would say, that doesn't make sense. Well, remember, God's got a sovereign plan. And maybe God just had him go over there just for one day, just to talk to one person, just to make one influence on one person. We don't know why God does the things he does. And like we said this morning, we shouldn't have to have him explain it to us. We just need to, trust him. But let me point to you this way, because I know there are concerns with all the violence that is in this world. And just yesterday, someone went to Walmart and they got shot at Walmart. And it just seems like you're not safe anywhere. It just appears to be that way. And sometimes we can even be fearful that church is not safe. But we do know going to church is God's will, right? That's clear. Forsake not to assemble ourselves together. So going to church is God's will. And if something were to happen and someone were to come in and start shooting, and people passed away, you would pass away doing God's will. Because this is God's will. Coming to church is God's will. So you'd pass away in the will of God. And I'm not trying to be callous when it comes to death. I'm not trying to be unsensitive to people's concerns about dying. But if you die doing what God has told you to do, then you've died in the will of God, and you've died according to God's plan. And so just like that missionary died according to God's plan. So let's not be fearful. Furthermore, and this is just a side note, did you know that 96% of all mass shootings take place in commerce? Only 4% actually take place in houses of worship. And that house of worship is a term used very lightly, so that means all religions. So there's a less than a 1% chance of someone coming in and taking our lives while we're in church worshiping God, okay? And if that were 1% chance, less than 1% chance happened, then that was God's will. Pastor, how could you say that would be God's will? Well, if you're doing what God has called you to do, and he is sovereign, right? If he's in control and he has all power, and you pass away with his permission, with his approval, with him not preventing that harm to come into you, then that was God's will for you to die. It's no different than during COVID. And during COVID, there was such an anxiety and a panic about COVID. But whether you die of COVID or whether you die of the flu or whether you die of a car accident, whether you die of a heartache, God will use whatever tool he wants to use to bring you to heaven when it's your time. And so there should be no fear of that. There should be no fear of COVID. There should be no fear of violence, because God is ultimately in control. And I know sometimes it's hard to have the rubber meet the road and the faith to be practical, but listen, ultimately our trust has got to be in the Lord. And that's the third point. In the third place, we have a promise that from God that no harm can come our way. Now, I believe the Bible. I don't know about you, but I believe the Bible. And Isaiah 54, verse 17 is still in the Bible. Isaiah 54, 17 says this: no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. So let's go back to that missionary. Well, that weapon prospered. It took his life. But if we go back to our first point, if you're a Christian, to die is a blessing. So that weapon did not prosper. That weapon brought about a blessing. It did not do the intended harm that it was intended. So no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. I just believe that. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31 says this, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Ultimately, God's our safety. I mean, now I'm not trying to, again, be insensitive or callous to any concerns that you may have had, but during COVID, it was outright panic, and people were just so uptight, and they were trusting in a mask rather than trusting in God. The Bible says that we're not to trust in horses and chariots, but we're to trust in the Lord. And sometimes we can have our trust in ourselves. We can have a trust in a mask. We have trust in a vaccine. We have trust in all these other things. But listen, when it's your time to die, God's going to take you no matter what, okay? And so just have your trust and faith in the Lord. And this is what Psalmist says, Psalm 56, verse 4. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. He says again in verse number 11, in God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. It's so important that we do not allow the fear of man control us. Because the Bible says the fear of man is a snare. The same word snare is used of the devil. And so the fear of man and the fear of a failure, the fear of not being able to accomplish or succeed, the fear of rejection, the fear of health can become a tool that Satan uses to keep you in bondage. And Satan can use that fear as a snare to get you out of the will of God, to cause you to not do what you know God would want you to do. So we have to have faith over fear. We have to trust God's promise. We should not fear death. We all have an appointment with death. And I don't know what your date is, and you don't know what my date is, but there's a date for Bill Erickson. And I don't know what instrument, what tool, or what avenue God is going to use for me to meet that date. It could be a heart attack. It could be a stroke. It could be being beat up by my wife. I don't know. I'm just teasing. I don't know what God is going to use. But one day he will use something to pass me over from this life to the next. And it will be a blessing for me. It'll be hard on those that I leave behind, but it'll be a blessing for me. So we ought not fear, as a Christian, we ought not fear death. The Bible says that those who believe in Jesus Christ shall never die. Physical death is just a change of a wardrobe. It's just you taking off this old body and putting on a new one. It's like getting a new suit. And so we ought not fear it. And in the same respect, because we know that it's inevitable, we ought to live every day with gratitude, with a fervency, and with a desire to make the most of our lives. I stand confident tonight, not arrogantly, not pridefully, but I stand confident tonight in God's protection, especially for our church. I know we live in a very wicked area. I know I'm not oblivious to the fact that Chicago's very dangerous, okay? I'm not oblivious to that. We live in a very dangerous part of the country, but it's getting dangerous everywhere. But ultimately, our safety is of the Lord, and one of the reasons why I have no fear is because of a belief that God answers prayer. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, every single day of my life, I pray for protection. Every day I pray for God's protection over my family, over my home, and over this church. And I'll pray and ask God to symbolically apply the blood of Jesus Christ to the doorways and entryways of this place to keep evil from entering. I symbolically pray and plead the blood of Christ upon my home and upon this church because I know the evil one does not like the blood of Christ. And I just have a faith that God hears prayer and God answers prayer. And if I pray that every single day and God allows harm to come to me, then I know it was his will for him not to answer that prayer and to take me to glory on his timing and his way and his choice. So I don't fear that, and I don't fear that for a church. Yes, we have an enemy, we have an adversary, but I believe we have Almighty El Shaddai, who's all-powerful. And nothing can come to us that doesn't first go through his hand and got to get his permission. So tonight, don't fear death as you battle through the natural decline of the body, and you start to have different parts fail you. Don't fear death, because death for a Christian is a blessing. Death is under the sovereign control of God, and we have a promise that the Lord will be our guide and our refuge. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The only reason you ought to fear death is if you're not sure where you're going when you die. That's what Jesus was saying. Don't fear if someone can kill you, but fear him that can cast your body and soul into hell. Fear the second death. That's what we ought to fear. We all have a fear of God. We ought to have a fear that causes us to make certain that we're saved. And that's what Jude says. Jude 23, it talks about how fear is one of the motivating factors that causes someone to get saved. There's two factors that cause someone to get saved. One is fear. The other is compassion or love. In Jude chapter 22 and 23, the Bible gives those are the two reasons, two elements why a person comes to know Christ and how we pull them out of the fire. And everyone's different. Some people need the gospel preached with love and tears. Other people, their personality, they need the gospel preached with power and with force and with fear, putting the fear of God in them. People are different in how they respond. But that's the only fear we should have, is not knowing for sure where we would go when we die. But I believe tonight, each and every person in this room professes to be a believer in Christ. And if you are saved by the grace of God, then there ought to be no fear. We ought to be full of faith, because we know that God has our times in his hand. And one of these days, he'll call us home. He'll call us home. And when he does, if you're a believer, your soul will evacuate your body. Just pass from this life to the next, spend all eternity in heaven. I love heaven. It's such an encouraging thought to me, and it becomes more encouraging. Can't wait to see my grandmother, so dear to me. I used to be on the basketball team, and after basketball practice, she would be the one that would pick me up from basketball practice, bring me back to her house, and she'd feed me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And I just enjoy those precious times with grandma. I miss my dad. I know I have some children in heaven. My wife has had three miscarriages. One of those miscarriages was actually supposed to be twins, and so I know I have three children to look forward to when I get to heaven. I know I have friends who've gone on before me, and such encouraging thought of heaven. And however God takes us, we know it's a blessing to be able to walk down those golden streets, to embrace him, to live for all eternity with him. Don't let the devil get you in a snare tonight. Don't let him paralyze you with fear. You just keep doing what God has called you to do, and he is going to take care of us. We have his promise. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the blessing of being in church. And Lord, it's important that we have a complete trust in your providence and your sovereign hand in our lives. And Lord, just as we are very limited in the things that we can control in this life, we can control how we react to situations and how we react to feelings and emotions. I pray that you'd help us to react in a pleasing way to you. I pray that you'd help us to react in faith, knowing that our faith is real and it's genuine. There's a reality about heaven. There's a reality about leaving this world and going on to the next, that there's no fear. There's no fear over dying. Lord, help us to have this courage. Help us to have this assurance in your promises, your plan in our lives. We ask your blessing upon our time of invitation and our closing song. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.